Let's open our Bibles, and we are going to actually start with chapter 29, verses 31, and I'm going to read through chapter 30, verse 24. So I know it's a lot of reading, so please just bear with me. I want to go through all of these sons, okay? When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will have become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go in to her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went in to her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." Now she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "A troop comes." So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages, because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah, which actually means judgment. Dinah means judgment. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Now Benjamin is not born at this time. He's the youngest one. I gave you his name, but he's not born at this time. He's born later in Scripture. But I went ahead and gave you his name and the meaning and all, so you would have it. So here we are. Just want to refresh ourselves just a little bit with Abraham and Isaac, who had only one son each, to whom the promises were given. Now we know that they both had more than one son, but each only had one son to whom the promises were given. But all the sons of Jacob were to share in the promises. All the sons. Only one would be the progenitor of the Messiah. Only one would the Messiah come through that line. But all would be the children of Israel and would constitute the promised nation and the chosen people. This is why we have a detailed account of the birth of these 12 sons. That's why this is here. You think, well, why do you have that here? But that's why it's here. I want us to remember that Jacob was around 70 years old when he arrives at his uncle Laban's looking for a wife. He works 7 years for the love of his life, and that is Rachel, remember? So he's around 77. And when he goes and he asks for his wife, he's tricked or deceived by Uncle Laban and gets Leah, the older sister. And with Leah, Laban gives Leah a maid, Zilpah. And so he sees that Jacob is upset. And so Laban goes to him and he says, you know, I'm going to give you Rachel anyway. You finish out Leah's week, but you work for me another 7 years. And he gives with Rachel a maid named Bilhah. And Jacob agrees to do that. So after 7 years in Haran, 7 years, he now has two wives with two maids. When we left him last week, he had married two women and had two maids. And he had worked for 7 years. That's what he had worked for one wife. And so he has nothing else now. He came there with nothing, no money, no sheep, goats, cattle, just wives. That's all he has. And so we've just read the sons, the birth order, and the mothers. There's one daughter. Jacob does have other daughters. They are not mentioned by name. Dinah is mentioned because she is important in the history of the people. But the others aren't mentioned. When they enter into Egypt, they only count the men and the sons when Jacob and them will enter into Egypt. Dinah is mentioned because, well, like I said, because of the history of the nation, and it's important. Now we notice the two wives and naming the sons. This is something that's important. It's the women, the wives that are naming these sons. As they come forth, we don't see Jacob anywhere except going from bed to bed. I think he's a busy little beaver. But they are naming these children, and every time they're naming them, you can tell that there is a lot of jealousy and competition for Jacob's affections and Jacob's time. And so these women are naming these sons is what's coming out of their heart and what they're striving for in this relationship is one of the things that you can see in this. The only child that Jacob names that's recorded is Benjamin. He names Benjamin. and I did give you Benjamin. Right, yeah. Also, we see history repeats itself as with Abraham and Sarah in the case of Hagar. And I'll touch on this again, but I'm just kind of bringing some things to our remembrance. Rachel and Leah give their maids to Jacob, but the difference is all 12 sons, as we said earlier, have the full status as a son and the promise and the inheritance. Now remember, Ishmael did not, and neither did Esau. Leah was given Zilpah by her father. Rachel was given Bilhah by her father. And in that day, it was a normal practice for the fathers to give a maid to their daughter. And sometimes they could even give them a young girl. They could give them a girl. If they were married at 16 or 20, they could give them a girl that was 13. Or if they were younger, they could give them a girl that was as young as 9. And then one of the reasons that they gave them a maid, I thought this was interesting, as I was studying this out, this is the first time I've read this, is that one of the reasons that they did this is for the very reason when Rachel was barren and could not have children. It was a disgrace in that society not to be able to bear a child. You know, in our society, women don't want to have children. They want to have a career instead, and so, or they want to enjoy what they call enjoy life without children, and so it's not a disgrace. Having a large family is, you know, you almost want to hold your head down in shame if you have a large family. You know, people look at you like, what's wrong? Don't you know how you got that way? You know what's causing this? But it was a sign of honor and a blessing from God. Not necessarily, they didn't necessarily believe in the same God we do or Jacob did, but they still felt like it was a blessing from their God to be able to have lots of children and especially to have a son. And so fathers would give their daughters a maid so that if they were barren, then they could give their maid to their husband and they would remember, they would bear the children on the lap of their mistress. Now, these maids that were given to Jacob, they were not, they did not have the full status of a wife. Rachel was the first, Leah was first wife, Rachel was second. And so they did not have the full status. Now, when Sarah, if you remember, when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, she was going to do just what Rachel did. She was going to let Hagar bear Ishmael on her knees. But this didn't happen, did it? Not with Hagar. Because when Hagar was born, Sarah did not name him, and she did not raise him as her own. Ishmael. When Hagar had him, Sarah did not raise him. She did not name him. God had already named him. He'd already given Hagar a name for him. And so Sarah didn't have anything to do with that. Now, as we get into this, just a couple other things I want us to, and I may repeat myself some, so just bear with me. But Jacob has agreed to work 7 more years. I want you to get some time frame, get something going in your head. First 7 years, Jacob is alone. At the end of that, he gets 2 wives, 2 maids. He still has nothing else. He works for his father-in-law, and whatever food or whatever is provided there, that is what him and his wives have. That's it. So he has to work another 7 years for Rachel, remember? So he's going to work a total of 14 years. But he's already accomplished 7. So now what we've just read with Leah, with Bilhah, with Zilpah, and with Rachel happened in 7 years. 12 children. Busy, busy man. Because most likely some of them were pregnant at the same time, giving birth around the same time, you know. So Jacob, he's busy at work and he's busy at home. Okay. Do you remember what Jacob's home life was? His home life was like in Canaan. It was a jealous home, wasn't it? It was a home filled with jealousy. And it was a home that was filled with bias. The father was biased towards one son. The mother had her preference towards another. And so there was deceit and there was jealousy. And we know that Rachel is the beloved wife, and she's jealous because she can have no children. And Rachel, she blames Jacob for it. She sees her sister over there having baby after baby after baby. And here she's the one who loves him, and she gets mad at him, and she's like, you know what? She says, give me children or I'm going to die. And Jacob, you know, he's probably about up to here with Rachel, her not being able to have children, even though he loves her, but they're bearing children. And he just looks at her and he says, well, he said, am I in the place of God? And listen to what he says to her, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb. He's saying, it's not my problem. You're the problem, not me. I'm not the problem, you are. Now remember when Rebecca was barren? What did they do? Isaac prayed for his wife. Well, Jacob's too busy going from tent to tent to pray. You know, you guys think you don't have time to pray. You better be glad you only have one wife. You certainly would not have time to pray. I want to read Psalm 100, verse 3. You can just let me read it to you, and then I'm going to write it down if you want to. Psalm 139. I'm going to read Psalm 139, verse 13. Okay, let's read Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then in Psalm 139:13 it says, for You formed my inward parts and You covered me in my mother's womb, or you wove me in my mother's womb. God is the one who was responsible for the children that we have. Whatever we want, it is God that withholds it, or it is God who gives it. He is a sovereign God. He is most wise, holy, and just. And he may do what he will with his own, and is a debtor to no man. God owes no man a debt. Never did, nor ever can do any wrong to any of his creatures. He does not do wrong. Well, you cannot accuse God of wrong. There are four keys which God has in his hand. The keys of the clouds, the keys of the heart, the keys of the grave, and the keys of the womb. And he entrusts these keys neither to the angels nor the seraphim. He is the only one. So Jacob is making it very plain to Rachel that it's not him. He says, I already have four sons. And we see that Rachel resorts to the same thing that Sarah did, Jacob's grandmother. And we saw what a problem that was. And we're going to see, having all of these 12 sons. Now, God has allowed this, and he's going to make a nation out of it because of his promise to Jacob. And, you know, it's amazing to me, in spite of us, how God uses us. In spite of our planning and the things that we do, God does not revoke his word. He does not go back on it. He fulfills his word. He had made, if you, when you read this and when you go through this reading about, when you go through, as we go through, and if you want to just, the end of the class or whatever, if you'll go back and you'll read where it says, where God tells Jacob in 28 verse 15, he says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And that word is protect. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you, listen, until I have done what I have spoken to you. God had given him a promise, and he said, I'm not going to leave you until I've done it. And so, you know, we can do all of these things, but it will not stop God from doing what he has said he will do. That's what I want you to understand. I want you to see that Jacob has something in common with his father and his grandfather. There's this trait that is being passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. There is a passivity when it comes to the women folk in their house. Abraham, remember how passive he was when Sarah said, here, you take Hagar. That's how we're going to do it. He did not say, Sarah. And then Isaac, even with Rebecca, she comes to him and she says, oh, Isaac, I just can't bear this. You know, you got to send Jacob back. And Jacob, he just does what she tells him to do. And so these women, he's just doing what he's told to do. He's not arguing about it. He just goes and he does it. He goes, I believe that probably Leah conceived maybe within that first week, and she's pregnant. And when he's with Rachel, there's no conception. And Jacob is about building a nation. God has told him that he's going to have descendants. This is uppermost in Jacob's mind, because remember, Jacob, even with all of his stuff, he is a spiritual man. He wants the things of God. He goes back to Leah. Leah gives him another son. He goes into Rachel. There's nothing happening in that tent. He goes back to Leah. You know, if you stop and think, Jacob is a man, he's seeing where the fruit is coming from, and he keeps going back to that field to plow it. And so, anyway, Rachel's not too happy about it, so there's trouble in the house. And she tells him to take Bilhah, and he does that. He goes into there, and he has a child. I don't know where he goes after that. But after that child comes, he says, well, looks like fertile soil. Let's try planting again. He does it again. He gets another son. Leah, she just perks up and says, well, I'm not having any, but I have one too. She tells him to go in there. He goes in. He has a son. Let's do it again. He goes in. He has another son. And then, just competition. Probably, you know, some men think, man, I would love to have women fighting over me like that. I don't know. I don't know, because could you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine all of the hormone craziness that was going on in that? I bet you that man only came home to sleep. Which, and then we see he didn't do a lot of that. But I'll just bet when those women, he probably was glad if three of them were pregnant at one time so he could just have some rest and get out of town and stay out there with the sheep. But it's jealousy, it's controversy. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was actually thinking about this last week in our lesson. I was thinking about this when he received all of these women. Now, he has them all in one household, and we know that there are some cults that do that. They have more than one wife. But I was thinking, modern-day church, let's just talk about the church. Let's don't get outside the church. What do we have close to this? We have ex-wives and children, new wives. And there is a lot of jealousy there. When a man is married and he divorces his wife and he has children by her, and then he remarries and they have children, this new wife does not want these children to come in. I know there are exceptions, so don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about the majority. There's jealousy. They do not want that woman's children in their home. And so I think that that's kind of like a little modern day Jacob with all of his wives. I think that that's why children have so many issues, you know, because there's so much jealousy. And it's like, how do parents just move on? What happened? You know, I love mom and dad. And you don't love each other anymore, and then you move on and you get someone else and you have more children. Did you replace me? Well, I get to come over and visit with you, but I don't really live here. This I don't live here 24/7. And with Jacob now, remember, these women most likely would have had a tent. I don't know if they were living in a home or if they were living in tents, because Abraham and Isaac lived in tents, and Jacob will live in tents, but at this time, I'm not sure. But the women would live with their children, you know, so I'm not sure if he had them segregated out in the tents they would have been, but I'm not sure how it was in this house. And so there's a war of the flesh between the two sisters, and they're married to the same man. Leah gives him sons, Rachel has his heart, and neither are satisfied. And we see them giving their maids now and the battle going on. There's no reference to God. It's just them fighting, wanting to, you know, to be able to give those sons. Even though Leah is the number one wife, Rachel's the one who's in control. If you look right here, where Reuben, in verse 14, where Reuben says, where he found the mandrakes. Mandrakes is a type of fruit in that area. And it said it's a small, I can't remember if it was a yellowish type fruit, but it's supposed to be some type of aphrodisiac. Yeah. And so he brings it in to his mom. And Rachel says, well, give that to me. And listen to Leah's response to her. She said to Rachel, she said, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband?" Okay, that right there tells you that Leah, I believe that Leah loved Jacob all along, was glad of what her father did. But at this right here, I just can't imagine those wouldn't be but fighting words. Because Rachel's thinking, he worked for me. You know, he was supposed to be my husband, but Dad has done all of this. And so Rachel, you know, you're trying to say, I took away your husband? You look what happened. And then anyway, she gives them to Rachel. And Rachel says, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let him sleep with you tonight. I just cannot even. I mean, this is a movie. This is a movie. And so she gets the fruit. It's evening time, and Jacob's coming in. He's exhausted, probably. He's been out with the sheep all day or the cattle or whatever. He comes in from the field. Leah's got herself. She's probably had a bath, got herself spiced up with her, you know, Saturday evening clothes. She meets him, and she says, you're mine tonight because I bought you. She says, I paid for you, so you are mine tonight. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah. And that's what she tells him. She says, oh, yeah, you know, Rachel's got the aphrodisiac, but I've got you. And so in all of this, God is not far away. Because apparently Rachel and Leah, I'm not sure how Jacob has been doing this, but I do believe that Jacob has been teaching his family about the God that he serves. Because remember, they serve the moon god, and they're idol worshipers. But Leah and Rachel are changing. And I believe Leah's been praying, because in verse 17 it says God listened to Leah. And so she conceives that night, and she has another child. And of course she's still looking at it, you know, these are my wages. And then Jacob goes into her again without having to be paid for, and she has another son, and then of course she has a daughter. And after all of that, in verse 22, now, there's been 10 sons born and a daughter. And in verse 22, remember what I said, when then God remembered Rachel? It's not that God had forgotten her. It was that God was ready to move on her behalf. And God listened to her. Now, who was barren in this family so far? Sarah was. It was the timing of the Lord for her to have a baby. Rebecca was barren. And when Isaac prayed, she had a child 20 years for Rebecca, 25 years for Sarah. And so it's only been, you know, within 7 years that God opens Rachel's womb. And she conceives and she bears a son, but she has faith. Listen to Rachel's faith, because she named him Joseph. She said, because God's going to give me another son. So she's exercising faith when she names him. One thing I want you to see here is that Rachel ate the mandrakes, but Leah conceived. God's in control. God's in charge. He's in charge of the womb. He's in charge of who will have children, because only God can give life, and he does. God is the one who gives life. Now, let's go into 25 through 43. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country, and give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. He's 14 years of service now when this happens. And Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, "Name your wages, and I will give it to you." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house?" Now, remember what I said? Jacob had nothing when he came. 7 years he wound up with 4 women. 14 years he's got 4 women and 11 children. 12 children. 12 children. But that's all he has. He's still eating from Laban's table. So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything." Do you remember one of Jacob's ancestors who said something of the same? Abraham said that to the king of Sodom. Yes, he did. "If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed you and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in the time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." Laban knows a good deal when he hears it. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Now Laban is the one who's removing these. And see, he has sons here. Remember when Jacob came, his sons were probably too young to tend to the herds. Now they're old enough to tend to the herds. The girls were probably the oldest. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Just want to point out right here, I want you to be thinking as we go through this, is as you read this, just put on your spiritual cap to be thinking. Who wanted a 3-day journey? Do you remember? There was somebody else who said, "Let me and my people go 3 days." 3 days. 3 days is a total separation is what it means. It's totally separated. And so that's why he put 3 days' journey between Jacob and his flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs, made the flocks face toward the streaked, and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. In other words, then he made them face the direction of where Laban had taken his streaked and all. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, and male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. Now, I'm going to tell you right here, what we've just read is a 6-year period. Because Jacob is here for 20 years with Laban. 14 years have passed. He has nothing. 6 years, he knows it's time for him to go home. He has nothing to go home with. And Laban, he admits right here in verse 27, he says, "I have learned by experience, by divination, by divining, that the Lord," he's talking about Jacob's God. He doesn't mean that he believes in him, but Laban sees that this God that Jacob serves is blessing him. Actually, it says that, "For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." It actually should read that he has blessed me wherever your foot trods. Because wherever Jacob is, that God prospers him. And so he tells him, he says, you know, he says, you know, he asked him, he said, well, let me just go back just a minute. He's acknowledging that what's happening is because God is with Jacob. And in verse 30, Jacob acknowledges it. He says, the Lord has blessed you since my coming. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And I'm sorry, that is where it says at his foot, where his foot is, wherever his foot is, that the Lord has blessed him. And he wants to be able to provide for his house right now. Now, Jacob, Laban doesn't want him to leave because he's become a very rich man. And you got to realize Laban is a very old man. This is Rebekah's brother. This is Jacob's uncle. Now, Jacob is probably 84, 85 years old at the time. And so Laban has to be, oh my gosh, I don't know. I would think it could be 140. I have no idea how this man is old. And he does not want Jacob to leave. He wants to bargain with him. Remember, that's what he's good at. And we know that Laban has tricked and deceived Jacob. And so Jacob, he says that, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's do it this way. This is what my wages are going to be. I'm going to keep your flocks, but what you're going to give me are all those that are speckled, spotted, brown, anything that's not pure. I think sheep are normally white. Goats are normally black. And so he said, anything that's speckled, spotted, streaked, or, you know, if you have a black sheep, I'll take that one. And Laban is quick to agree. And you would think, well, why is he quick to agree to that? Because normally, out of a flock, it's about, what I read statistically, about 20% of a flock that would come out like that. So that'd be 20% for Jacob. Jacob is a very seasoned and skilled shepherd who has been watching his sheep, Laban's sheep, for 14 years. Jacob knows these sheep. He knows how to breed. Okay? Now, God is the one who's told him to leave. Now, here is Jacob with his little scheming still. There are things that God's still working out of him. Laban's sons, they pick out all of those because the reason they took the ones that were already in the herd, they took them out, took them 3 days away. Those were not Jacob's. 3 days journey away from all of those that were pure. And Jacob said, whatever comes from these that are pure is what I will take. Any of those that are, anything that's not pure in this that's left, that's what I'll take. So all the speckled, the spotted, every one of those were removed. 3 days away. The odds do not look good for Jacob. And Laban, that's why he's so quick to agree. He's thinking, yeah, man, I'll do this. And so he takes them away. Now, everything I have read says that there is nothing in the things that Jacob did, stripping that bark off and putting all of that in front of the sheep, there is nothing that can change the genetics or the genetic makeup. The only thing that I did read is that, let me see which one it was. I don't know if it was the almond or one of these that he stripped. They said it was like I don't know if you call it an aphrodisiac. I don't know. But it would put the animal in heat. And so he would put them there, and then they would be in heat. And so that was what they did say, that does happen. That is a proven fact, that one that's stripped down. And so Jacob is not an ignorant man. And so what is Jacob leaning on? Himself again. And he's still resorting to trickery in one sense. But God is blessing this because he knows what Laban has done to Jacob. He is ready for Jacob to come back home. And he's not going to bring Jacob home empty-handed because God says he's going to bless his people. Jacob is not a burden on anyone. He's not going to be a burden on anyone. God is the one who is doing this. Jacob's not doing this. But then, and you see that by the time you get to the end of this chapter right here, that Jacob's flocks, it says, he became exceedingly prosperous. He had so many. Now look, he had 11 sons, and so probably 7 and 6 is 13. His oldest son could not have been any more than 13, which I'm sure that those boys were out there working with him. But because his flocks were producing so fast, he was becoming so prosperous that he then had to have male and female servants. Not only that, he was able to buy camels. Now, do you remember what we talked about with camels? Who could own camels? Only wealthy people could own camels. Jacob has become wealthy, and he has donkeys. And this is God doing this. This is not them doing that. Remember, this goes back to the verse where Rachel says, give me the mandrakes. Where she thinks that she's going to conceive of her own doing. She's going to use something to conceive. And she doesn't from the mandrakes. But this is God. And if I want to just go over there, we're going to look at this one, and we'll look at it in depth tomorrow. But I want us to look at 31 verse 10. No, I'm going to look at verse 11. Then the angel of God, no, let's look at verse 10. And it happened, chapter 31, verse 10. And it happened at that time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. He said to me, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillow and you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. God had already, when Jacob made this agreement with Laban, see, this tells us why he made the agreement. God had already given him a vision. And that this was what God was going to give him. He was going to give him all of those that were speckled, spotted. And actually, a black goat is much more... I'm sorry. If it had been a black sheep, their wool is twice as expensive as the wool of a white sheep. And then with the goats, I think it was brown... It would have been brown goats... what is it comes from goats? Their coats would have been twice as expensive. I can't remember what it's called. The sweaters they make. Is it Angora? Is that it? I don't remember. I could be wrong. Oh. Could be. Don't know. But anyway, so what Jacob was getting, God was giving him the best. He was giving him the best. It was something that's hard to get and that people want. And so what Jacob was doing is that God had given him a vision, and by faith he stepped out and he said, this is what I'll do. And this is what I love about it, because Laban took all of those, because you know, most likely if you had bred a streaked or a spotted with one, you might could have gotten another one. But all of those were totally removed. Totally removed. And God began to work on Jacob's behalf. And so, you know what? God works on our behalf too. And it's faith. By faith. Listen to me. Jacob had nothing. He did not have two sheep to rub together. He could not have made a bowl of stew for his children to feed them. Nothing. Not a thing. God told him, he said, do this. Take everything out of your way, Jacob. I want you to remove everything out of your way, Jacob. I want you to have these that are black and white. And we know that Jacob stripped the wood. But by faith, he had to get rid of everything that he could have leaned on, those things that he could have leaned on in the natural. And God moved on his behalf. That is, I believe, a word for somebody here tonight. You want to take a step of faith, and you're afraid to. And God says that he's not going to leave you nor forsake you until he has accomplished what he has spoken to you. What he has said he will do. He said he will not leave you nor forsake you. God was in control of the flocks. He was in control of everything because he had already told Jacob. He let Jacob go there, but he said, I'm going to bring you back. And he'd already told Jacob, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come home. And Jacob takes that step of faith. You know, sometimes God wants us to take a step of faith. It may just seem impossible. It's like, I cannot see how this will work, God. I cannot see how I can do this, God. God's not asking you to see how you can do it. He's asking you to just trust him, and he will do it. Whatever it is that you are thinking on or you are pondering on, whatever is going through your heart right now before the Lord, take a step of faith and trust the Lord. And he will not fail you. So, all I have, I'm way off my notes. I can't even go back to my notes. let's close. I don't know what time it is, but let's close. Okay, let's close. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for your word, God. And Lord, I am beyond humbled, Lord. Every time, God, time I open this word, your faithfulness, Lord, and your goodness just overwhelms me. You would stir your word within them, Lord. God, all the great and glorious things, all the secret things that you have for them, Lord. You have the words of encouragement, Lord, and the grace and the mercy that you want to rain down, Lord. I just ask that you would do it, Lord. Lord, where there are some tonight who need the gift of faith, Lord, I ask you would give it to them. Lord, I know that you have blessings beyond what we could ever dare to even ask for, Lord. You desire to pour out on us, Lord. I pray that you would rain your blessings on your people, Lord. Thank you for tonight, and thank you for this home, God. Lord, I'm asking you, God, that you would bless this home with peace, with your presence, Lord, with health and wholeness, Lord, and with prosperity, Lord.
God, I just thank you, Lord, and may you bless your people as we leave here tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, anybody have anything they want to say or add?
Yes, go ahead.